This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I believe we get out of the gate today with Sweeney Murdy, don't we? Yes, no?
Yes, he is on the line.
He is on the line. Sweeney, my friend, welcome back. It's so great to hear you.
Am I leading off today, Jonesy?
You are the leadoff hitter today, all right? Yeah, you're the guy in the leadoff spot.
Big McBride shoes on and ready to roll.
Okay, well, that means you get on base, we're running. It's one of the great things when you're around major leaguers, or at least former major leaguers, is it's so important to listen. I remember when Willie McGee came into State College, he was the base running coach for the Cardinals organization. You sat there and listened to the guy. What's that been like for you, so closely associated with the game, the listening part? And maybe what are one or two things that you picked up along the way that you just either never thought of or never knew about?
You know, I think the whole key sometimes is to figure out what they want to talk to you about, right? Like, what do they like to talk about? Yeah. And, I mean, I guess I kind of had an advantage because I was there every day, so I could kind of take my time to get to know these guys. And, you know, if that one conversation didn't click the first time, then you come in and out. Eventually, you come up with something that you can tell that somebody's passionate about or is interested in. And you just kind of get to know them that way. I remember a funny story. Tom Keegan, who used to work for the New York Post, and I forget where he is now. I think he's in Boston now. But he told me a story one time. Remember Jose Vidro from the Expos?
Of course.
Second baseman, really good hitter, right? Keegan told me a story one time how he was trying to interview Vidro and was getting nothing from him. Like, it's just like one-word answers, not, you know, and really not getting anywhere. I was kind of just kind of looked him in the eye and he said, "Best fastball hitter in the game right there," pointing to Vidro. All of a sudden the world opened up, right? Like he couldn't stop talking about like his approach and hitting and all that. You know, he wanted to talk about hitting and it just took a second to get there. You know, this is part of kind of what you do. Like you spend time in a clubhouse and you just observe. You know, Yogi Berra said you could observe a lot by watching, right?
Right.
That was kind of the trick here. One of the things that we are kind of entrusted with is telling people what it's like inside the clubhouse, and you kind of have to stand and watch and listen a lot to really take that in. So, you know, I think that was the advantage I had. Listen, I covered clubhouses daily for 22 years. And that's something great that you pick up on just by... Those are one of my favorite things about batting practice, Jonesy. I used to stand, you know, the New York Yankees beat had a lot of, and the New York Yankees in general have a lot of media. But during batting practice for the 45 minutes or an hour, I used to like to stand off to the side a little bit in my own spot where I could kind of observe hitters, like just listen to the hitters talk or coaches. Maybe catch, you know, you're not up close enough to the cage sometimes, just the way security is and all that, but you're trying to just pick up little things about how people interact with each other and things like that. And those are just little details and maybe things you can come back to and talk to guys about. But it really comes back to figuring out what that guy wants to talk about. And once you do that, you know, you have a pretty good, you know, chance of getting to know him better.
Well, what does that do then in turn? Not just the perspective you can give on a show like this, but also what does it do to give you perspective on the right kind of questions to ask people, because now you picked up enough background?
Yeah, I mean, I always just kind of looked at it as, you know, I think there are a lot of people who want to ask good questions, but they look at it more in terms of the question they're asking than the answer they're getting. And, like, to me, maybe I'll fumble around a question, but there's a point to get there. Like, I need to get the answer. It's always about the answer you're looking for. And it's, you know, it's more of a conversation than asking the question, mm-hmm. right? And I've never liked the style of talk about this or talk about that.
I hate that.
I mean, nobody does that in real conversation, right? Like, you don't say, you know, hey, talk about lunch today. Well, what'd you have for lunch? Hey, where'd you go? There's a very easy way to get a question out if you're doing that. So, but even, you know, kind of straying from that, it's more just, sometimes it's just a conversation about stuff as opposed to interviewing them. I've never liked to tell people I want to interview them. I tell them I want to talk to them, right? And sometimes the setting is really, you know, is important too. And just to the idea of kind of this whole thing that we've just been talking about 2 years ago when Aaron Judge is in his monster season, it's August, and he's, you know, climbing up towards 60 home runs, I kind of made a point to say, listen, I need 5 minutes from you today. And he was at the point in the season where everybody wants 5 minutes from him today, you know, and it's hard to get that. But I went up to him during batting practice, and I hadn't really bothered him a lot during the course of the last month or so, probably. So because I'd been around, you know, every day, I'd seen him since he was a rookie, and I'm there all the time. And when I say, hey, Aaron, you know, I need 5 minutes from you today. I can wait till after, you know, after BP. I can wait for you. We can do it in the dugout. We can do it away from people, wherever you want. And he kind of, I think, understood that it was important for me, and he said, sure. So he meets me in the dugout after batting practice, and like, that's kind of a casual setting still. And I think that's important. You know, you're in their environment. So we sat in the dugout, and we talked about a few different things. It ended up being like, I lied, it wasn't 5 minutes. It was more like 12. I think I said I need 10 minutes, and I took 12. I said, I owe you 2 minutes back, and kind of chuckled. But we hit on a couple of different things, and it turned into three different stories for me, including one about how he remembered hunting down Jonathan Sanchez at a Giants game when he was a kid for an autograph, and how that little moment, getting an autograph from a big leaguer, became this great moment for him. And I tracked down Jonathan Sanchez and told him that Aaron Judge, the biggest star in the game right now, remembers getting your autograph, and he was tickled to death. You know, and that became a story idea for me. And you know, we talked about his pursuit and what he thought about the holding the record or attaining the record. And those are, you know, it just kind of flowed from a conversation, Jonesy, and partly these stories were built about the relationship that you have when you're there every day and you're not trying to bother them every day, right?
Right.
If you're, you know, that's another thing. Like, if you have people who want to cover teams and have star players, yeah, okay, you're going to have to talk to the star player a lot, but sometimes it's just as important to not talk to them.
Right.
Go talk to the other guys, leave them alone, so that when you come back to that guy, he's going to know it's really important that, you know, they're always watching. That's the thing that I learned. They're always watching you. You know, they have such great attention to detail. When you talk to athletes about, you know, think about, like, when you're scouting that pitcher or scouting the other team or the other team's defense, they'll tell you in intricate detail, I saw this and I saw that and I knew it meant this. Mm-hmm. They have that attention to detail. They're watching how media interacts with them. They're watching how media interacts with other people. Phil Hughes, pitcher for the Yankees, pretty good pitcher for a little while. And he told me that he watched how, when he first came up, he watched how Derek Jeter interacted with the media, and it told him a lot about, you know, who he trusted, who he didn't trust, who he liked, you know, how much time he gave them, you know, like what, you know, his level of politeness and openness and things like that. And it taught Phil Hughes a lot about how he wanted to conduct himself. Luckily for me, I got along with Derek, and Derek treated me well, so Phil treated me well. But it was more about the idea that these guys are always watching and observing, and the detail they put into scouting their opponents in the game also goes into their interactions with the media. So when you're trying to, you know, get to these guys and interview them or do stories, features, whatever you need to do, you know, just the way you carry yourself in the room when you're talking to them or when you're not talking to them is just as important. They're always out there just kind of gathering their own information on you. And they pay attention. Whether they say they don't read it or listen to it or whatever, they've got friends and family who do. So whatever you said about them or wrote about them, whatever, it'll get back to them. And as long as it's professional, I think everybody is cool with it.
And then in that vein, you did a piece with Robbie Thompson, the manager of the Phillies. What did you learn about that and about him and maybe you did not know before?
Well, what I really was trying to get at, I talked to Thompson. This was actually back in, I think it was right before spring training when I talked to him about this. Mm-hmm. What I was really trying to get at is that there are so many young players coming up today, and teams are trusting them more. And, you know, the Phillies had a way of incorporating some pretty young players in, and you know, with veteran guys like JT Realmuto and Bryce Harper, obviously. And I kind of want to talk to him about how that developed. And he told me that it had a lot to do with, and I know Rob from his time with the Yankees. He said it had a lot to do with that, and when Joe Girardi became manager of the Yankees before the 2008 season, Rob Thompson was his bench coach then, and they said, you know, our veteran players and our young players really don't interact at all. And in spring training, they're pretty much separate groups. And when a young player comes up to the big leagues, like, he's in awe of his surroundings, and sometimes it shows because they don't perform very well. So, you know, there's got to be a way to fix that, and you know, Girardi and Thompson drew up this idea, just have them, you know, interact more in spring training, whether it was in drills and or on backfields or even in their, like, off-field activities that they drew up, the kind of how the team bonding thing. It wasn't just going to be the veterans hanging out together and then the rookies hanging out together. They need these guys to mix so that when a player comes into the clubhouse and he gets called up on May 15th, and he has to start today, he's not going to be in awe. He's going to know the people around him. You know, Joe Girardi said he walked in his first big league clubhouse straight from Double A, and here's Ryan Sandberg on one side of him and Andre Dawson on the other. He was intimidating. You know, and this is a guy who spent 15 years in the big leagues eventually. You know, he had the talent and the determination, but he was still, you know, he was still intimidated by this. Well, you know, Tom said to me that, you know, this was Joe's idea. And, you know, sure as hell, it's exactly what happened. When these guys came up, they felt more comfortable, and they were more at ease. And getting them into the lineup and putting them in Yankee Stadium around 50,000 people and putting them into a Yankees Red Sox game on a Sunday night, you know, these are the things that I think sometimes we don't really understand how big of a deal it is for the players and how, you know, everything they have to go through to prepare for this and get themselves ready to play and, you know, try to get a couple of hits off the best pitchers in the world, those kinds of things. That's what their jobs are. You know, the coaches and the managers and the best ones take such good care of trying to get their players ready and trying to anticipate all these things and getting their head on straight. So, you know, Rob Thompson came from a minor league background where his job is for minor league players for the big leagues. And as he becomes a bench coach and eventually a manager, he's incorporating a lot of this. And the Phillies' success in the last couple of years has really come from this idea that they're a they're a family, and anybody who comes in there, when they get called up, they're ready to go. And it's not like old days when rookies were ostracized and they were hazed, and, you know, basically it was a big leaguer didn't want a kid coming up and taking his job, so, you know, they're going to push him every chance they could to see if they were tough enough. And that's really not how you do it anymore. This is also an idea that, you know, Girardi and Thompson saw firsthand with the Yankees. You know, C.C. Sabathia told me he got pushed around a lot when he was a rookie, and he hated it. He had veterans in the Cleveland team that just didn't like him or treated him poorly, and he vowed that if he was ever going to be a veteran who had that kind of influence, he was not going to let that happen. Well, as the core four aged out and the baby bombers came in the middle part of the last decade, C.C. Sabathia is a big veteran presence in the Yankees clubhouse. Joe Girardi's the manager, Rob Thompson's the bench coach, and C.C. kind of helped usher these guys in and welcomed everybody in, and it really had a huge impact on how the 2017 Yankees made it all the way to Game 7 of the ALCS. These young kids came in with an expectation to perform, with a little less anxiety about it. They were good, obviously, and, you know, and they took it that far. The Phillies are using some of that, and Girardi pointed out how Alec Boehm struggled a bit after a good start when he first came up, and Bryson Stott struggled a bit. You know, these guys are probably all-stars this year, and they're leading the Phillies to the best record in the league, and who knows where they can go because of where they've been these last couple of years. They're drawing on that experience and the culture that Thompson and Girardi built together, first in New York, and then, kind of coincidentally, because they didn't come together on their own in Philadelphia. You know, Thompson was hired by Gabe Kapler, then stayed on when Girardi took over for Kapler, and then took over when Girardi was let go. You know, it was, you know, they're working off of that template. And I kind of find that fascinating because that's interactions of players in the clubhouse and how things have changed. It is no longer, you know, the veteran player is just kind of saying, all right, let's see if this kid can cut it. They're doing everything they can to make sure those players can cut it because they know how important they are. Why would you sabotage your own team when these players are here to help you win? The more comfortable you allow them to be, the better they will play for you, the better your chances are to win. And that's the culture that is, it's not just there, it's being built many places, but, you know, as far back as I can see, you know, Girardi and Thompson took a real interest in changing that with the Yankees when they were together in 2008, and then starting for a 10-year period, they won a World Series together in 2009. And, you know, what the Phillies have built this year, certainly Rob Thompson is front and center, but, you know, Girardi's fingerprints are on too because of their work together.
No question. What they did was they took away the insecurity of the veterans. That's what they did. It's actually not like, you know, helping the rookies along. They took away the insecurity of the veterans. We then felt secure enough to go out and say, hey, look, what do you need from me? We need to win. I mean, that's essentially what they did. Sweeney, thanks
and
so
times,
much.
The times have changed because, you know,
yeah,
you know, the long-term contract really helps. You know, this isn't 50 years ago and guys are on one-year contracts and like, this kid's not going to take my job, you know. You get a guy who has a long-term deal, all of a sudden he's like, okay, listen, I'm good here. Like, let's win. Let's do it.
Right. Exactly. Well put. Great talking with you. Really was. Thanks so much for the time. Always appreciate any chance I get to talk with you.
I never know where this is going to go. It's fun just kind of pulling up a chair and talking to you. So thanks so much for having me.
That's about what we do here. You know, it's like that. You know, we hope that in the end it's an interesting, fun conversation for everybody involved, especially the listener. And you do that.
Thanks, Jonesy. Appreciate you, man.
You too. Sweetie
Murray.
Hey,
happy early Father's Day to you.
Oh, thanks. You too. You too. You have a beautiful family, by the way. Beautiful family. All right.
Sir.
You bet.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show, this half hour, brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.